Let's go to Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter number 8. We're going to continue our series on spiritual warfare. We're going to take our Sunday nights for a while, and we're going to build up to teaching on the armor of God. I started to go right into it, and I thought to myself, I think it's going to be a lot more easy to convince Christians to take the armor of God seriously if we spend some time laying the groundwork and understanding just who our enemy is. And he's got a very successful track record. I wish I could get up here and say that that's not true. He shouldn't have. He's a defeated foe. You know, I tell people sometimes, why in the world are you letting a former, now unemployed archangel have so much control in your life? And yet Christian people, listen, he can't win a victory if we don't hand it to him. Bible, you can't show me in your King James Holy Bible where God says that we're supposed to be fleeing from the devil or running from the devil. Bible says, resist the devil and he shall flee from you. So even though I want you to understand him, I want you to be aware of what we're facing. You know what? I don't want you to fear him. Because you know what? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But you know what? If we let our guard down, or if we think we can defeat him in our own power, you know what? We'll learn real quick that he's taken down greater men, greater women than anybody that's in this room, pew or pulpit. What we better do is stay humble, relying on the Lord. The Bible says be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's not something I can do by myself. Not something I'm up here beating my chest saying I can take on the devil and win. No, but I've got a big brother. And you know what? The devil's a bully. And you know what a big brother does? He takes care of the bully for you. And so if you'll stand with me, Luke chapter number 8, verse number 26. Luke 8, 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, and oft times it had caught him. And he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. They besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Notice what happened when the devils took control of this herd of swine. Verse 33, when the devils went out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place to the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he had he that was possessed of the devils was healed. When the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. You'd think they'd begged him to stay. You'd think they'd say, hey, I know some others that need help. But you know what? Can I say this? They were more upset about a herd of pigs, losing a herd of pigs. People that watched the pigs, the ones that were hired to pig, went and tattled on him. More worried, come on, are we this way? More worried off the money we can make off a herd of pigs than we are a man getting delivered by God, by Jesus Christ. So we're going to continue teaching on Satan's invisible army, Satan's invisible army. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd use this time, Lord, as we do a quick review and into the service tonight, I pray that you'd open our hearts, Lord. Thank you for all we've already enjoyed. Boy, it's been a evening of blessings. And so, Lord, we want to be helped now. Lord, help us, dear God, to understand our enemy and, Lord, to be, I think, more serious-minded, Lord, as we go about taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. We pray in his name. Amen. And you may be seated. Real quick, I won't take time, but we learned in Satan's invisible army several things about this invisible army. We use the word demons. The Bible uses the word devils. And we found out that the Bible says that devils are many. One third of the angels of heaven followed Satan out of heaven. The Bible talks about the innumerable company of angels. They are many. We told you where these devils are today. Well, if they got booted out of heaven, where are they? Many are active on earth doing the bidding of their evil master. Some devils are chained awaiting judgment. Some devils who are now chained will be released during the tribulation period. We found out that devils are loyal. They're loyal. And you know what? Jesus said if a house be divided against itself, it cannot stand. Satan doesn't cast out Satan. And so they're loyal to the devil. They're organized. Well, I can't reteach this. I'd like to. Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Those four things are very definitive. They're listed on purpose. Principalities. Satan has ruling magistrates. This means that some devils oversee large divisions of followers. The devils are organized in a very military fashion. The word power, some devils have delegated influence and mastery. They're like the Satan's elite forces, special forces units, rulers of the darkness of this world. We're talking about geographically placed satanic rulers that are responsible for certain countries, states, cities, actual locations, spiritual wickedness in high places. These are supernaturally depraved plotters. They are in charge of coordinating attacks upon godly strongholds. And so, folks, I want you to understand something. If the devil's organized, maybe we ought to be organized. If the devil can't be divided, why is it that Christians are so easily divided? It's sad to say this, but we can learn some things from the devil and how he runs his attack against the church. Devils create strongholds. We talked about that in depth last week. Concentration of demonic activity, concentration of occult activity, concentration of people enslaved to sin, concentration of false religions, concentration of persecution of Christians. You've been on the mission field enough to have been to some of these places where I'm not exaggerating, I'm not trying to be spooky. But if you have a spiritual sensitivity, there's some places you can go to and the hair almost stands up on the back of your neck. You could cut it thick in the air. The devil has possession of it. He doesn't want to give it up. But you know what I say? Let's go right in the devil's backyard and let's plant churches and let's steal his kids from him. That's what I say. And that's why the Bible said to the church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. I'm not telling you these things so that we can go into retreat. I'm not reminding the church of this so we can circle the wagons and hold the fort till Jesus comes. I'm telling you these things because it's getting darker and the devils are increasing in influence and power in our country. But you know what? We must be bolder. We must be more courageous. I believe every church, every pastor I talk to in 2020 at the end of the year, what are you planning for 21? How are you going to handle 21? I said this out loud to groups of preachers, to individuals, preachers. I called them on the phone and I said, don't scale down anything. The devil wants us to go into a fetal position. You know what? We ought to be planning more than we ever have. We ought to hit it harder than we ever have. We need to be bolder. Listen, come on, church. I can't believe there's people still hiding at home, won't come to church on Sunday. It's time to take America back. People are open right now. They know something supernatural is happening. They know this is unusual. The Church of Jesus Christ has, I believe, been presented with a silver platter type opportunity. And most churches, you can't even get the folks to come to church. What in the world are we doing? Some devils can work miracles. We talked about that last week. We went back to look at the miracles that Moses did. And then, of course, some of the ones that was mimicked by the magicians there in Egypt. Devilish miracles are inferior to God's miracles. Devilish miracles are harmful to those who perform them and to the people. And devilish miracles are limited. There came a point in time where all the magicians could say was, hey, this is the finger of God. We can't duplicate that. I want to spend most of our time tonight on just one point, and that's this. Devils seek to oppress and possess the lost. Possess the lost and oppress the lost. And we'll get into this down the road. They also do the same things. They attack Christian people. But I want to mostly focus tonight on this man. And some of the things that when the devils took possession of this man, this maniac, what the devils did to destroy this man's life. And we're watching this in America today, okay? You know what? I'm telling you, a lot of the things I'm going to say, if you know what's going on, if you're out there on the front lines, bus ministry people are going to get this. If you're out there knocking on doors, if you're counseling with people, if you're talking to people, you can get past the facade and into their life. You know what? You find out that the devil's wreaking havoc in the hearts of the families of America. And so I want to get into this portion of scripture, and we want to take a look at what the devil was doing to this man and learn some things from it. Well, let's just start out in verse number 27. Here Jesus arrives. He's got his disciples. And you know what he did? He met a man out of the city, a certain man which had devils long time. And the Bible says right after that comma, and wear no clothes. Well, you know your preacher. If the Bible says it, I'm going to stop and talk about it, all right? Well, summertime's here. Temperatures go up. Clothes come off. Not if you're a born-again Christian, they ought not to. You know what? This man wear no clothes. It wasn't the Holy Spirit of God that told him to run around naked or half naked. You know what? It was not God that led him to wear things. Come on, ladies, I'm going to help you right now. Let me help you. That are too short and too tight and too low in the top. That wasn't the Holy Spirit that is leading you that direction, okay? You need to hit a reset button every once in a while, okay? Husbands, you need to hit it in your home. Preacher needs to hit it from the pulpit. I love you. No matter what you wear, I promise you, I love you. You come in on you watch what comes in on the bus, what we bring them, unless they are obscenely indecent, and we will do something about that, okay? There's a line that I've got to draw with some of the young ladies, and we've had to draw from time to time. But I'm going to tell you something. We're gracious here, and we love these young people, and we bring them in. You know what they're wearing? They're wearing what their parents bought them. You know what they're wearing? They're wearing what they're selling at the store. You know, sadly, you know what they're wearing? They're wearing what their heroes in the Hollywood industry, in the music industry, is teaching them to wear is cool. But you know, thank God they can come to a place and learn about holiness and learn about God and learn about modesty and decency. And Sunday school teachers, don't back off these areas. Be kind, understand who you're talking to, but don't be afraid to share a testimony about this and help these young ladies. I've often said, you see a young lady that's coming here, she's coming on a regular basis, and maybe she doesn't know have the right kind of clothes to dress. I guess you could sit back and criticize her, or you and your wife, you know, husbands, you could take a billfold out of your pocket, hand your wife some money, and say, honey, why don't you take that girl and buy her a nice supper and take her out shopping and buy her a couple of good outfits. Say, hey, it's one thing to be critical, it's another thing to help somebody, you know. And so we don't beat people up over this. There's been lies, I said lies, demonic, wicked, satanic lies told about this church. I've knocked on doors, had people tell me, well, I can't go to your church. I hear your ushers meet people out in the parking lot, and if they're not dressed a certain way, they make them leave the property. Now, who started that wicked lie? I'd like to find out who started that wicked lie. By the way, God knows who started that wicked lie. But you know what? They've got people in the community convinced that we're unkind about this, ungracious about this. I'm like, come on a Sunday. You know what? Good night. You'll see a little bit of everything. But that doesn't mean that on Sunday night, Wednesday night, and even in Sunday morning in our classes when we have opportunity, we're going to help these young ladies. They need to know the truth, okay? And so demonic activity produces nakedness. Number two, demonic activity produces homelessness. Homelessness. End of verse 27. Neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. The Bible says that this man neither abode in any house. Now, if you talk to people who work with homeless people, they'll attest to the fact, watch this. Say, oh, we got a problem, got a crisis with homelessness. You know what? There's been so much money thrown at that. There's been so much housing made available to these people. You know why most of them are homeless? Listen, I'm going to say it. You know why most of them are homeless? Because they choose to be homeless. They've been given opportunity. They've been given a chance for shelter. You know why? Watch this. Because they've opened satanic doors into their house. I don't think it's just not talking about a homelessness, the problem we have in America. I believe that demonic activity attacks the home. It's wanting to break up homes. Much of the mental illness associated with homelessness is really, I'm going to say it, demonic oppression. You know what they need? They need Jesus. I appreciate our good brother, and I can't think of his name all of a sudden, that's over in Hawaii and is working with you. No, try to do that. You think it's tough raising support. Decide you're going to be a missionary to Hawaii and go raise support. What's his name? Anybody help me? Hart, Brother Hart. Yes, thank you so much. Brother Hart. God bless him and his wife. And you know what he did? He went over there. He was once a homeless person. His life was so messed up in sin. And he you know what? He had so much problem with addictions and drugs and booze. And it'll mess your brain up, folks. He didn't want to be at home. He wanted to be on the streets. But you know what? God saved him a miraculous way out of that. Sent him off to Bible college. He met one of the sweetest Christian gals you'll ever meet in your life. The two of them, you know what, dedicated their life to serve God. Said, you know what, let's go back to Hawaii. Let's go to those tent cities. Folks, do you see on the news, do you understand that these people that are living in tents are living, they're everywhere. They are everywhere. Go to every major city. Tabitha and AJ, when we would go out there, every once in a while they'd want to go down over to San Francisco and Pier 39, and you know, I'll do the touristy thing. I'm telling you, the last couple of times she just texted us and said, Dad, I don't think we can come back over here. I mean, there's homeless everywhere. It's a crisis situation in California. A lot of that is because of unbiblical principles that they're operating their government on, okay? And they're creating this crisis. Read the book, you'll find out why they're creating the crisis, okay? And a demonic activity producing homelessness. Look at verse 27. Demonic activity creates an infatuation with death. I want to warn you young people about something. Because some of the things that you think is just normal and cool, if you're in the public school system, you get to looking at the Bible and let it speak to you, and you begin to understand something. Verse 27, the Bible says this man was homeless, but he wasn't just homeless. He chose to dwell in the tombs. Our culture's infatuation with death is well documented. You go to the public school system, you see the Gothic styles, you see the skulls, you see this infatuation with ghost hunting. Look at how many people are hooked and addicted to these movies that just revolve around this idea of Satanism and horror and death. You know, I'm gonna say it, this infatuation with zombies and the billions of dollars that's being made off zombie movies. And what's with the infatuation with death? Suicide, come on, it's becoming normal today. All right, music and movies strongly reflect the demonic activity of our times. If you stop and look, you know, well, I don't see anything wrong with tattoos. Okay, well, stop and look at most of them. See if this theme doesn't run through most of those that are getting these things. What is the infatuation with death? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the... So when Christ comes in, you know what? He produces life. And you know what? Life that's an abundant life. When the devil comes in, he produces death. And he gets folks fixated on death. So we see this demonic activity creating this infatuation with death. Demonic activity results in uncontrolled fits of anger. Verse number 29. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of him. For oft times it, talking about the unclean spirit, had caught him. He was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he broke the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And folks, this entire culture is just overrun with this uncontrolled anger. It's said of this man that the devil, here's the phrase, caught him. Often he became destructive and violent, got to the place where he couldn't even live with other human beings. You know what? The devil drove him out into the wilderness. The people, listen, can I say this? When this was the bogeyman that lived outside of town. This is the man the parents told their kids about when they wouldn't go to bed at night, wouldn't behave themselves. The bogeyman will get you. This man, the devil will turn you into a bogeyman. He will. And all of a sudden, listen, we've got a problem. I mean, bus workers, you can stand up and testify. I can line you up here. How many times have you seen a kid, come on, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, just go into uncontrollable rages of fit and anger? I'm sorry, but it's unnatural. It's unnatural for a child to be that way. And we've had to deal with it in our ministry more and more. And young people being sent. You know how many teenagers have been assigned by the courts to have to attend anger management classes? You know what? They'll take them and send them to a therapist that'll give them a bunch of humanistic babble, but they don't realize what the real problem is. You know what? Once Jesus came to this man's life, he sat at peace at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. All that turmoil was gone. Can't help but be reminded of Brother Nez's testimony when he stood up here and gave his testimony of the control that the devil had in his life. Here he is, a Navajo. And folks, don't think that booze doesn't open doors to Satanism too. And you know, some of these kids kidding around, bragging about, you know, fringe kids drinking and carrying on. You go to Brazil, Indiana, you used to be the Kroger store right there, right beside the Kroger store. They sell booze there. Got a liquor store there. And from the time I was a kid, I looked over and I seen that. It said House of Spirits and had pictures of three little ghosts underneath that. You know, why do they call booze spirits? Why do they call booze spirits? You know, you better think about it. Why is it that every time you bring booze into a situation, next thing you know, you have fights? Why is there bouncers in bars? Okay, because you know what? The devil comes in with that booze. That's his stuff. I don't understand Christians wanting to defend social drinking. You can go bark up a tree somewhere else. I ain't going to fly with this preacher. I know that King James Holy Bible. Listen, this is crazy. I have to say this out loud. I had to dismiss in our church. We had to dismiss somebody that came and stood in this pulpit and asked us to support them as missionaries, went over to Germany, and then somebody went and visited them a few years later, and this missionary that was raised in an independent fundamental Baptist church has booze in his refrigerator. You know, as soon as that man found out about it, he contacted his home pastor. Should have contacted his home pastor. You know what? He came to church. I asked him, I said, listen, are you working a job over there? He said, well, no. So you're living off what? Well, the church's support. So the money that you went down and bought booze with was Blessed Hope money. Now he's on social media acting like he's the martyr, like he's been mistreated by churches. What in the world is wrong with us? I mean, come on, think about it. Let me tell you something. The devil, it is the one that told him to go down and buy that booze. No, I dare the man. You want to get on social media, you get a camera, and you look into it, and you tell the world that the Holy Spirit of God told you it was okay to go down and get that booze. But I'm going to warn you before you take me up on that. You better read what it says about blaspheming the Holy Spirit of God. I'm tired of people hiding behind this nonsense, you know. Demonic activity results in uncontrolled fits of anger. And, you know, it's a phenomenon that's just wild in America. Listen, talk to our police officers. Let me tell you what their most dreaded call is that they have to answer. The most dreaded call is a domestic violence call or domestic, what would you call it, domestic what? Violence call. Where there's a problem, you know what? Because and it's all the time. There's kids that we're bringing in on buses. You know why they come? You know, I sat back there and I just met the girl. She's just been coming a short time. I can't remember her name now. I got to talk to her and learn a little bit about her. She actually, Brother Jeff, I think her sister brought her in. Her sister brought her in. She was from Linton. And she'd missed the bus, wanted to come so bad, she rolled her older sister out of bed, put her in the car, and brought her to church. And I said, well, you made an effort to get here. I said, what do you think about the church? And her face just brightened up. She said, I love this place. I love this. She's only been coming for a few weeks. I don't know if I've got the right bus route or not, but I thought to myself, I don't know. And I don't know. But I thought to myself, what kind of situation does she live in? Why was she wanting to come so bad to somewhere? Come on, folks, somewhere where there is life and where there is light and where there is love. You know why? Because the devil's got a hold of so many homes and turned them into a war zone. Come on. I'm talking about husbands beating their wives. That's becoming more. I mean, that's so commonplace, folks, it's ridiculous. You lift a hand and physically harm your wife. Let me tell you, son, you are not a man. You know nothing about manhood. Nothing about being a man. And that's just becoming common, you know, children being abused. And I mean, the system's overrun, foster care system's overrun. You know, I told Sister Cindy when she first came in here and told me what she was doing, I said, you're one of my heroes. I mean, but there's more kids out there that are being, you know, their homes are being ripped. Listen, can I just stop and let's say, well, it's just the culture. No, it's the devil. It's the devil. Which is the way things are. No, it's the devil. Well, we just need to throw more money. No, we need to throw the gospel at them. The only chance we've got of winning some of this stuff is not more social programs and not more therapy and not paying more agnostic, atheistic counselors to try to help these kids. You know what they need? They need what Joe needed when he came here. He needed Jesus Christ as his Savior. That's what they need. They need Jesus. Demonic activity sometimes results in imprisonment. Verse number 29 says this. It says that, and oftentimes he was, it had caught him. He was kept bound with chains and fetters. I won't get into this, but folks, you know, there's a reason we have the problems we have, and there's a reason we can't build jails fast enough, and there's a reason people are now getting to the point where the only thing that society knows what to do with them is just take them into a little 8x12 room with iron bars and lock them up. There's nothing else they can do for them. And you know what? It's demonic. Pray for those that are in prison ministries. We need to do more about this, by the way. And I'm not blaming anybody but Jerry Ross on this, but God just keeps stirring my heart. Those of us, Paul Henry, I just got his letter since this COVID thing started. The last letter I just got, they finally got back in the jails in Texas. It's grieving my heart. We can't get back in the nursing homes. We can't get back in the jail ministries. But you know what? They're starting to open up. And you know what those folks need? They don't need rehabilitation. You know what? How many repeat offenders there are? Talk to our law enforcement over and over and over again. They're putting a Band-Aid on cancer. It's not working. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. Demonic activity sometimes exhibits itself in supernatural, superhuman strength. Verse 29. He'd break those fetters, break those chains. This poor possessed man broke the chains and fetters with which they tried to bind him. Check out the music. I'm going to say this. Too many of you have as your heroes these professional athletes. Come on, these WWE guys. What kind of music are they listening to before they go into the field of competition and do almost superhuman things? Come on, we've become, America's become Rome. And you know what? We spend all our time infatuated with our gladiators. We better take a look at that. There is help. There is help. There is help. Verse 29, we're going to get to that. Demonic activity results in bizarre, insane behavior. And all this is in verse number 39. He break the bands, was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And pretty soon, you know what, folks, listen. Matthew's account tells us this. I won't go there. But it says, it describes this man thus, exceeding fear so that no man might pass by that way. So that no man, you know what they learned? He lives up there in the cemetery, and you better not even get him anywhere near that. Which means, you know what, if he saw you coming, he'd just run out and attack you. And exceedingly fierce and violent tendencies is all over our nation. Folks, come on. I'm telling you that the devil is behind all these riots. I'm telling you that the devil's behind all this looting. I'm telling you that the devil's behind citizens rising up and physically attacking our police officers. It's the devil that's behind all that nonsense, okay? And so if some preacher gets up and points out what should be obvious to everybody, then you know what? They don't have an answer, so they call names. Next thing you know, they're yelling at you and saying you're a racist and a bigot. I'm not a racist and I'm a bigot. I've got two eyeballs and a King James Holy Bible and some common sense. And it's the devil that's behind all this nonsense. I mean, they're tearing down, listen, they're tearing down statues of people they don't even understand. You know, when you're tearing down statues of Abraham Lincoln, you might want to read a history book, you know. Demonic activity sometimes results in self-mutilation and other forms of self-destructive behavior. Back in Mark 5, Mark's account tells us that this man engaged in crying and cutting himself with stones. Self-mutilation, self-harm has become a national epidemic with our young people. Again, I want to help you. I want to be careful. I can tell you there's probably young people that have done this and gone through this and sitting right here. I'm your friend. I love you. But you need to hear your preacher right now. It wasn't the Holy Spirit that told you to pick up a knife and cut yourself. By the way, it wasn't even you that thought of it. The Bible talks about that man, when he says, listen, he'll love himself.
He cherishes his own flesh. Come on, that's what the Bible says. So if it wasn't you, and if it wasn't, well, it's just something I thought of. Wasn't it something you thought of? Come on, I want you to think about this. Here's the question. Did you think of it or did you hear it? Did you think of doing it or did you hear the idea come to your mind? It's happening over and over again. I'm talking about an epidemic. Come on, I've had to deal with it in our Christian school. Are you listening to me? It needs to get quiet right now. When this is creeping into the church house, we need to start doing some reevaluating. Okay? The Holy Spirit never told a Christian to do something that's self-destructive and self-harmful. And you know what? A man that's not influenced by the devil is not going to destroy his own body or hurt his own body. This is the result of demonic influence in the heart. Self-destructive behavior doesn't just end with self-mutilation. It includes drug and alcohol abuse. Come on, eating disorders. Cutting is very common in our time. Again, this is just the evidence of a growing number of people who are falling under satanic oppression. Number 10, last one, demonic activity results in suicidal thoughts and attempts. Had another story in Mark where a man brought his son to Jesus. And it says, oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Number of suicides and suicide attempts continue to rise drastically as Satan is preparing the world for the tribulation period. Say, preacher, is there an answer for the devilish oppression and possession? Notice the difference in verse number 35. When this man came to Jesus, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Brother Nez, his wife, locks him up into a shed, basically, lays across the door, says, I'm not going to let you out of here till God does something. Family members bringing food to the door. She's praying over the body of her husband as he's going through the withdrawals of all the drugs and all of the alcohol. He's hearing again and again voices in his head telling him to kill himself, destroy himself. His wife lays over his body, one of the most amazing testimonies you ever hear, and prays for her husband and begs God to deliver him. After several days, he falls on his face, cries out the name of Jesus. Are you thinking about it? Cries out the name of Jesus, begs for God to forgive him and save him. He gets quiet. He gets still. He stands up. He walks over and opens the window. He said, what's that? She said, what are you talking about? I hear the birds singing. I can hear the birds singing. I can hear the birds singing. He said he hadn't heard quiet for years. Hadn't heard a bird sing in years. From the time he woke up to the time he went to bed, there was noise, there was confusion, there was screaming, there was voices. Well, I don't know what you call that, but I think I know what the Bible calls it. And you know what? Nobody could help that man. Nobody could help that man. You know how many times he went to rehab? You know how many times he went to the dry tank? You know how many times he ended up in jail? You know how many therapists he sat beside? You know what delivered that man from satanic possession? You know why he pastors not one, but two churches now on the Navajo Reservation? You know why he's got those three precious daughters he's raising for Jesus, one of the sweetest Christian homes you'll ever be around? You know why? Because Jesus delivered him from what we're talking about here. But that's what we're up against, Christians. That's what we're up against. And it's not only the devil, but his army of devils would love to tear up your home, would love to destroy your marriage, would love to steal your kids. Young people, you better understand what you're up against. Your only hope is to get a hold of this King James Holy Bible. Take it serious. Put on the whole armor of God. Read. Pray. Get as close to God as you can. Because you know what? I can't beat the devil, but he can't beat Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us. Lord, thank you, dear God, that I can teach this and still stand here without fear. I can teach these things and stand here with the peace of God in my heart because I know I'm on the winning side. But Lord, at the same time, I don't want to underestimate the enemy. So Lord, may we draw close to you. May we get as close as we can to you. May we take our Bible reading more seriously. Take our prayer time more seriously. May we not rush out the door without putting on the armor of God. We're going to get to that. Lord, may we learn the discipline of putting on the armor. The daily discipline of putting on our armor. Lord, there's so much that we still need to do. So many souls that still need to be reached. I believe the only reason you're tarrying right now is the mercy and grace that's in your heart. Your mercy endureth forever. We've been given a little window here. Last of the last days. Lord, we've got to hit it hard. We've got to go after it. Lord, thank you for helping the youngs through this weekend, Lord. I believe a lot of things they're facing. Lord, some are allowed of you to prepare them for what's ahead. Some, I believe, are satanic attacks against this couple. They don't want this couple down in Jasper starting this church next spring. So, Lord, may we surround them with prayer. May we stand by them. Thank you for our bus captains. Thank you for our Operation Occupation leaders. Thank you for everyone that's out there in the community. Lord, just trying to reach people for Jesus. Thank you for the Davises. Work in our heart tonight, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name.